I hope the Lord will bless a few thoughts to fruition tonight. I'd like to consider briefly the story of David and Jonathan and one of the results of that friendship later in David's life. And 1 Samuel 18 is the beginning of that friendship. I'll just read a few verses so we can get an idea. Jonathan was the son of the first king of Israel, Saul. And David and Jonathan had a very close and intimate relationship, as we'll see in the following verses, starting in chapter 18 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan, being the king's son, stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. So David was a shepherd's boy, a young man, as Jonathan was, and he had come to prominence by his slaying of Goliath. And Jonathan, no doubt, wears great royal clothing, being in the king's house, being part of his family. And he gives these things to David as a token of his love for him. In the following chapter, chapter 19, David, after he defeats Goliath, then he defeats the Philistines in a separate battle again. And his fame is built throughout Israel. The famous cry that we have heard, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul became very envious, to the point of wanting to kill David. And David is at this point, as we just saw, Saul brought David into his house, and he lived there at that point. He didn't go back to his home. That's what that verse was saying. So he lives there now, and in verse 8 through verse 10 of chapter 19, it says, "And there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand the harp. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night." And that's the beginning of David's fleeing from Saul until the end of Saul's days. We go over into chapter 20, and Jonathan eventually becomes aware of Saul's enmity towards David. And it's hard for him to believe at first, but David convinces him, "Look, your dad is really after me." Or your father, probably, is what he might have said. In verse 11, it says Jonathan and David get back together. And in verse 11 he says, "And Jonathan said unto David, Come and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not unto thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But If it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. So he's going to go find out if Saul is really against David and let David know the results. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. This is Jonathan talking to David. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one, from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. So they renewed this covenant that David would never forsake Jonathan or his seed. And then in verse 30 of the same chapter, at this point, Jonathan has found out Saul for sure, and Jonathan has now told David, you've got to leave for good and never return. Well, when Saul finds out that Jonathan has basically aided David in fleeing from Saul, he becomes very angered. In verse 30, he says, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? He's basically saying, you're helping the man who's going to take your place as king. You are giving up your place as king to help David. For as long as the son... Well, he explains himself quite well. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So this is very serious. Yet, even upon finding out Saul's enmity, now even against Jonathan for helping David, he loves David as much as he ever did. He gets one last opportunity to be with David after shooting the arrows, we know the story, to warn David. He ends up being able to see him once again before he leaves the city. And at the end of the chapter in verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. All right. So this is a serious bond between these two men. And some very serious implications of the relationship. Well, at the end of 1 Samuel, Saul and Jonathan both die in war. Jonathan fighting beside his father. Even with that strain, he was still faithful to his father, which is a great testament to him. And eventually, over the next several years, David assumes the throne of Israel. First, he takes just Judah, and then he takes the whole land. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9, he is well established as king. This is according to the chronology that I was reading. About 20 years since Jonathan and David. Maybe even more. 20 or so years. And so it's been a while. It's been a long while since Saul was king, since he knew Jonathan. Those things are very well in the past. However, we find in chapter 9 an incredible story of what I believe is a image of the grace of God upon His people. And this is a story that mirrors this, and we'll see it. I'd like to read the whole chapter so we have a full understanding of what happens. But it's only 13 verses. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Which, by the way, he became lame at 5 years old because his nanny, essentially, was fleeing a battle, carrying him, and she tripped and dropped him, and he, both of his feet were crushed, and he was lame. Which you might think was just happenstance, but I believe it was the providence of God because it opened up this opportunity for us to see what we will see here. In verse 4, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, and the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence." He's come before the king of Israel. "And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet." This is an amazing story. I have 5 points I'd like to draw out of this story. First of all, David remembered his covenant with Jonathan. As I mentioned, it's been at least 20 years, maybe even 30. And if he had not remember that covenant, no one would be the wiser. That covenant was between them and God. Because Jonathan explicitly said, between God being the witness, we have made this covenant. So we have no reason to believe that anyone else knew about this. David is the king. He can do whatever he wants. Certainly, no one would be the wiser. But because of his incredible love for Jonathan, he remembered his covenant with him. The result of that is that he found Mephibosheth. He sought him out. We don't know exactly what Mephibosheth's circumstances were, but he certainly was not very well to do, considering his situation. But that certainly did not hinder David. He sought out this man. And is it not true that Jesus seeks out every one of his children because of the covenant that he has with God? It is a complete covenant based upon an everlasting love. And not one of his children will be lost. Luke 19:10. Says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He is in the business of finding his sheep and saving them. And John 6:39. "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Which is exactly what David is doing with Mephibosheth. Thirdly, upon meeting him and upon Mephibosheth's humility at being in the presence of the king, David says, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." In Mark 6:50, when the disciples were amidst the sea, was this the disciples actually? He was in a boat with the men of the sea. And there was a great storm. But he said in verse 50, "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." There's another scripture that echoes that, which I couldn't find, but that is what Jesus says to us. Be not afraid, it is I. We do have a fear of God, but at the same time, it leads us to not fear what's about us, because our fear is in God, not in man. In addition to that, David showed kindness. He followed through, and that is certainly, as we know, our experience with the Lord. Upon giving this grace to Mephibosheth, he then, it says in verse 7, "I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." So he restored his bounty. Mephibosheth was a lost man, even though he did have some lineage to point back to. It didn't really mean anything at that point. But David restored his bounty to him and gave him fields, gave him harvest. And when we are, to me, this is a picture of our regeneration. Because when Jesus works in us and he says, "Fear not, it is I," and brings us to a knowledge of him, then he is bountiful towards us. He restores he can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. He makes all things new. This is a beautiful picture of what Jesus does in his children's lives. And then, best of all, David promises Mephibosheth a seat at his table continually. And this wasn't like a one-time deal. Like, I won the sweepstakes and I get to sit at a feast with somebody important. Which you didn't get to do, but he got to do it for the rest of his life. David ate good every day of his life, at least when he was home. And now, this would be the future of this man's life because he had so much to offer David. No, he had two lame legs to offer David. He wouldn't even be able to go out to battle for him. But because David remembered his covenant, he sought out this man and has graced him with all of these things and promised him to the end of his life, which the Christian's life doesn't end, a seat at the table of the king. And is that not what Jesus has promised us? So it's a beautiful story and it's a true story. And we are but lame men who have no strength to offer to the king, but yet he is good to us and promises us his love and protection and service even to the end of our days, which will not end. A great paradox of Jesus Christ.